Let's get ready for Mr. Mike Jacobson. State Senator Mike Jacobson's in studio again. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys?
Let me put your mic on. How are you again?
Hey, I'm wonderful.
Good. Excellent. Hope you had did you have a good weekend?
I did have a good weekend. We had several things going on. We were in the eastern end of the state and had I really wanted to go to the Perkins County Fair Parade. We went there last year, and we're trying to make all the parades this year, as many as we can, and that one we just had a conflict and weren't able to go, but we did have a good time over the weekend, and I ended up stopping by the farm yesterday a little bit on the way back to North Platte and did a few things there, and I'm not looking forward to having to do. I'm glad I've got people down there that are going to do anything that needs to be done on my farms this week. For this next week.
You know, you mentioned Perkins County. Was that not a part of the 42 jurisdiction until recently? Is that right?
Right? Yes.
Kind of got a corner of it, right?
Well, yeah. What I've got, and you know, Teresa Ibaugh, Senator Ibaugh, has a part of Perkins County, so we share Perkins County, and so. As freshmen, when we came in, we'd rattle off, you know, which counties we represent. And, of course, it used to be District 42 was just Lincoln County. Well, now it's Lincoln County. Then you go the four counties north, so McPherson, Logan, Hooker, and Thomas. And then I have, okay, drum roll, please, three-quarters of the landmass of Perkins County.
Right.
Okay, so Perkins County is a relatively rectangular-shaped county. So if you take the state of Nebraska and transpose it over the county, so basically Senator Ibaugh has the southwest
the corner of not Nebraska.
But her part includes the town of Grant.
Okay.
Okay. So she has the population base, and I have the landmass. So I've got Madrid, and I've got Elsie, but she's got Grant.
Most importantly, you have the Struckmans. My parents live over there.
There you go.
You snuck them in.
There you have it. Yeah. So
I knew this would be confusing. That's why I made that map and colored it in.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, you can see on the map there how that. So
you got like the state of Oklahoma almost.
I have the state, yeah, a little bit more. It's a little wider panhandle, but yeah, pretty much got the state of Oklahoma in Perkins County. But great group down there. Gosh, I remember driving down the parade there last year, and you know, the crops were just gone. I mean, just gone. I mean, you know, they obviously Lincoln County, southern Lincoln County, was a train wreck, and then you go on into Perkins County, and you know, I'd never seen before. Corn that grew up about 3 feet tall and then just died.
Yeah.
And now this year, lots of rain and all that drought has moved to the east. And so we're seeing that now in the eastern part of the state.
State Senator Mike Jacobson here joining us this morning. Let's talk a little micro TIF, shall we? I know that was the subject of your most recent letter.
Yes. Well, I've got an article in the paper this week that's going to deal with micro TIF. And, you know, I think that This is LB 98. It was a bill that I brought this year in the legislature. Many of you may recall that the micro TIF concept was originally brought by former Senator Mike Roney, who really had the intent of providing some ability for small homeowners or for homeowners to do improvements on their homes and be able to get essentially a tax rebate. Most of your TIF, you've got two other forms of TIF. You've got what I like to refer to as original TIF. Original TIF is when you basically issue a bond that the developer funds, and then they get the proceeds from that bond, and they get those dollars up front. And then any increases in the tax assessed value of their property then would be carved off, and that would be those future payments would be sent back to the bondholder to repay that bond. Now, keep in mind that there's nothing coming off the tax rolls because whatever the property was valued at to begin with, those taxes continue to go to the taxing authorities,
right.
And that's the case in all TIF. And so it's just an incremental increase. And, of course, the theory is that if the project isn't going to be built without TIF, you're not out anything, because if you can't take away what you don't currently have. Okay. So original TIF was really designed for larger projects, and you could only use the proceeds for the acquisition of the land and for the infrastructure development, but you couldn't use it for any of the vertical construction. Then we came back then a few years later, the legislature did, they came back with what they call workforce housing TIF. Workforce housing TIF would also allow for the proceeds to be used, proceeds from the TIF bond, to be used for vertical construction. You're still limited, however, to the amount of income flow that's going to come from the incremental increase in property taxes over the next 15 years, and so that generally will limit it out. Micro TIF is set up to where this is more geared towards housing itself, and older housing, generally housing is, well, it may requires has to be in the city limits for greater than 60 years. And it's really designed, it was originally designed to repair and update houses. What we've done now is expanded it, and we've done two things. We've expanded it by really having people think more in terms of major remodels and even scrape and rebuilds. So if you think about what's our problem right now in housing, is the costs are astronomical, because right now there are very few buildable lots. So if you're going to build a lot or create a subdivision, the cost to buy the land, put in the street, sewer, water, you're staring between $75,000 and $100,000 per lot before you even start building the house.
From the get-go, yeah.
So you can see those numbers can get pretty tall. But yet if you go up in areas of town where the houses have been around for more than 60 years, maybe some severe dilapidation, you could go in, but yet you might have good city streets, good sewer, good water, everything's in place, the lot is there. Some of those older properties could be bought for $25,000 or less, and you get the lot along with the old crappy house. So the point is, you could do one of two things. You could go in and either significantly remodel the house if it's worth saving, and increase the, and use micro TIF so that the increase in the tax assessed value, that flow of taxes over the next 15 years would flow back now to the person who did the development originally, as opposed to the current homeowner. The old TIF model, micro TIF model, said that the flow of funds would go to the current homeowner. Well, that was very problematic, because the city treasurer had to figure out who was the homeowner at the time that the taxes flowed. And at the same time, there was a little bit of a constitutionality problem. You can't really do property tax abatement per se. And the other piece of it is, how does the developer ever get their dollars back? So you really don't create the incentive that you need to create. A good example, and the example I'm choosing in the paper, is that if you did if you're going to build a $300,000 house on an older lot, so you go up, say, somewhere, let's say you go up on the north side somewhere, you purchase a lot, and let's say you buy it for $25,000, and you scrape the house that's there, and you build essentially what would be a $300,000 house. Only in this case, you don't spend $100,000 for the lot, you pay $25,000 for the lot, and then you use micro TIF. Well, when you look at, let's assume that the tax assessed value at the back end is about $250,000 completed, the incremental increase in taxes goes from a $375 tax base to about a $5,000 tax base. Mm-hmm. So you're getting roughly, let's just call it $4,500 in increased tax that would be paid every year. You present value that for micro TIF. It results in about a $50,000 assistance on the front end. So not only are you buying the lot cheaper, but then you're getting another $50,000. So essentially, you're getting the lot for free.
Right.
And so if you can do it that way, now you've significantly reduced the cost of new housing. We've also gone up into an area of town that we can start really significantly improving it. Now, one of the challenges that's out there is, what do you do where housing is so tight? How do you transition people that are living in houses today that are really substandard and how do you get that? How do you find housing for them to move into, so that then we can go in and rework these those houses? And so I am working a little bit with a connection right now in looking at maybe transitional housing structures that could be used for this type of relocation. And that may be something we'll look at in the legislature this next year, because we do so many of these programs to do rural workforce housing and other things, but we really need to think through what are the strategic needs that we have. What do we need to really allow all of this to work? Because you can't really put people out on the street if you're going to go make this happen. You've got to be able to transition people.
Senator State Senator Mike Jacobson here with us, talking micro-TIF, one another tool in the toolbox to try to solve the housing issue that we have in our town.
Yeah, and it's again, it's one of the tools. One of the real challenges right now, as you guys well know, is that not only did building costs shoot through the roof, but now we've seen interest rates skyrocket. The combination of the two have made this just unbearable. And as you guys well know, we've got significant jobs coming, sustainable beefs a little over a year from being completed. We've got a lot of homes to be built between now and then. My understanding is right now in North Platte, there's 8 homes under construction, 8. So that isn't going to get it. We have got to significantly increase the pace of new housing. And if we fail to do it, we're going to miss a significant job opportunity. We're going to miss on a significant opportunity to grow this town. And we just can't let that happen. So we've got to figure out how to get there.
Right. Theoretically, some of these people that come move for sustainable beef or the other opportunities could live somewhere else and commute. But, boy, we don't want them to do that.
Well, and even there, that we've got the challenge in the whole region. I've talked to a number of the village boards in the district and plan to sit down with every one of them to walk them through micro-TIF because they're all looking at the same thing.
Right.
I don't care where you go. I've been up to Thedford. I've been to Mullen. I've been across the district. And everyone has the same problem. They have a hard time getting teachers to move to their town because there's no home for them to live in. And so this is a problem that's throughout the state. Lincoln and Omaha are dealing with it as well, but not nearly to the extent that we are here in the western part of the state.
I know. I noticed with the Lincoln County Commissioner's agenda, they had property tax valuation, considering more of those here today. So that's not quite wrapped up yet. And just one more reminder on that.
Well, yeah, and I think it's important for people. I'm getting a lot of calls from people about their valuations and this is wrong and there's all these rules out there. And so let me just try to explain if I can. If you look at property valuations, what we're trying to do is this is your property tax base. And so the legislature over the years has tried to lay out rules for how do you come up with an equitable valuation for all types of property. Okay, it's pretty easy to say, and what we're really trying to do is the assessor's trying to go out there and say, what would your home sell for if it were on the market today? And that's all they're doing is just trying to come out with a base value of what is the value of the property that's within the taxing jurisdictions. We're just trying to come up with a value that what that property would be at market today, whether that be a house, whether that be a commercial building, an office building, farmland, ranch land, and then how do you value that? And how do you value a commercial building that's empty and one that's full? How do you value like Walmart Food Distribution Center? What's it worth operating? What's it worth if it were empty? So there's all kinds of rules that the assessor has to use as to how they go out and value property. Once we get the valuations done, we've now determined what the property tax base is for your area. Your base can grow two ways. Your base can grow through valuation increases due to inflation or improvements of properties, and either would be, and both have been the case here the last go around. And your base can also grow by new construction. So what you really like to see is your base growing through new construction. But once the base has been determined, then all of our taxing authorities are going to meet in October, and they're going to set their budgets for the next year. And that's where the public needs to go weigh in and understand what's going into these budgets and how much they're increasing. because it's the local taxing authorities who set their budgets. Once those budgets are set, then they're able to take the assessor. It's a simply arithmetic formula. You simply look at what's the base, and then what's the tax need, and then you solve for what the mill levy is. Okay, and then ultimately your valuation times the mill levy determines what your property tax is. That's why I've told people, don't get too excited about what happened with your property tax increase or your property value increase, because it's your taxes should not raise anywhere as close to that number. The mill levy needs to come down, and I believe will come down, even without any help from the legislature. And then when you look at what the legislature did this year in terms of new public school funding, $300 million of additional funding going to public schools, much of which we expect to be used to relieve property taxes. Then there's the property tax rebate. So when you net all of that out, even with inflation in the budgets, we don't expect property taxes to rise much at all, if at all. And so, again, we'll see where the taxing authorities come in, but that's really what we're after. So keep in mind that the difficult thing is, how do you figure out what to value properties at? It seems simple until you start looking at all the nuances out there, and whether a property's full, whether a property's empty, whether you've got farmland, for example, that's in the CRP program or it's not in the CRP program. How should that be valued? And that's why you have all these different rules on how to value it. So the assessor just simply goes out and follows the rules that are out there and sets the value, and the commissioners, acting as a board of equalization, have some flexibility, but fairly limited. So it's a difficult time. The real pressure really needs to come in October when the budgets are set. That's when the public really needs to weigh in.
Very good. State Senator Mike Jacobson here with us on this Monday morning. Folks want to ask a question about that, they can get a hold of you.
That's right. And I'm easy to get a hold of. You can email me at mjacobson@leg.ne.gov, or you can call me at 402-471-2729.
There you go. Anything else you'd like to touch on this morning?
No, I'm just looking forward to, I think we've got marathon parades coming up here.
The season's here.
Yeah, I think we're heading up to Thomas County, to the Thomas County Fair on Saturday. And then I believe it's the 5th of August. That's Marathon Day. I believe that's Brady Days, Logan County Fair Parade, and Hooker County Fair Parade, all three in the same day.
Very good.
And we're going to make them all.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Awesome. Good to see. Well, thank you for coming in. As always, appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
State Senator Mike Jacobson here joining us on this Monday morning. We'll take a time out, 8:27. Come back with more. Right?